35.
Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes with Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Haas with Team Reba RE/MAX Metro.
And this is a live call-in show. If you have questions for us or our guest Brooks Powell of Powell Homes, you can reach us at 866-712-1300.
Yeah, you might be wanting to, I'm going to start calling them daddos.
Daddos, they do call them daddos.
You might put a daddo in your backyard.
Yep.
So we're talking about accessory dwelling units. They can be either be attached homes or detached homes, you know, on your single family lot. And I remember, you know, growing up as a little kid, my grandma lived in one behind our house. And I still remember some of my fondest memories because I get sent back there, you know, to take my nap, you know, during the day. Boy, I wish I could do that now. But that was such a
you want to go take a nap right now,
model.
Don't you?
Eric, I could build you your own right now, and you could go take your own naps.
There you go.
That's right. Absolutely.
Your lot's a little steep
now
for that.
We're in the whole role reversal thing. I'm thinking right. More like my dad now. You know, it'd be pretty cool to say, Dad, nap time.
Nap time.
Yep. Head on back.
Yes,
head
I think back. There's quite a few people who would probably maybe want to do that with a family member. You, out back, go.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. Go to your room. That's right. So, Brooks, tell us what's your best guess? You know, building something like this, in my view, is really going to help with the value of the home.
Yeah, I think it really does, because if you think about what it adds to a house. So, let's say you have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home with a 2-car garage, and you build in the backyard, and maybe you're on an alley that hasn't really been utilized. Maybe the alley's there, it's open, but there's not a lot of garages on it. You built a 2-car garage with a mother-in-law apartment and an accessory dwelling unit on top. Now you have a 4-bedroom, 3 or 4 bath home
That's
with
right.
a 4-car garage, and it'll appraise.
It's got some tremendous value.
It's got some tremendous value. And so what we're going to need to see is we're going to need to see appraisers recognizing that change.
Right.
So there might be a little lag time as we see that happen.
And I can tell you appraisers, different appraisers are going to look at it differently. If they go right by the book, they don't actually call it a 4-bedroom home at that point. They'll call it a 3-bedroom home with an accessory
Right. Unit. Which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And sometimes that can actually give you a little bit more value, even than if you're comparing it to a 4-bedroom home. It's not quite the same thing if you're comparing apples to apples.
Yeah, but the thing I've also seen with certain appraisers is if you have enough square footage in the front home, they don't care how many bedrooms it is.
Correct.
Anyway, there's a lot of folks I talk to and they're like, well, what's the value of an extra bedroom, you know, between 3 and 4? And it's like, to an appraiser, there really is none. They really look a lot at square footage. Once you get above 2,000 square feet, they start not caring about the number of bedrooms. But I will say, if you're building one of these with garage space underneath it, holy smokes.
Right.
The garage space around here is at least, you know, 50,000 just for each, you know, space.
Yep.
And it should be worth that, because it's expensive to build. People expect that garages are inexpensive. And in the city of Seattle, we're building in one of the most expensive construction markets in the United States.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
We're
good
right
figure.
Up there. Oh, yeah. We're right up there, you know, New York, San Francisco, and we'll have folks move here from Texas, one of least expensive places to build.
Big eyes.
And all of a sudden they're like, well, gee, I had a 4,000 square foot home in Dallas, and I paid $200,000 for it.
Right.
I'm like, well.
And lived in Dallas.
And there you go.
Sorry, my sister's in Hearst. I'm just teasing her.
Yeah. Because we know she's listening. Yeah.
This show streams online.
There you go.
So
that's
she could be.
She could be. Yeah. We'll make that assumption. So I think that the challenge we face is that, you know, permitting for something like this is not too difficult, but it takes time. A typical building permit in the city of Seattle is anywhere from 6 to 9 months. And then financing, how do you pay for it? Well, you can pay for it out of pocket. If you have some cash, you could use a home equity line of credit.
Sure, of course.
Or you could do a full construction loan, and you could refinance your house and then get proceeds for constructing the ADU. So there's 2 or 3 different ways to do it.
Right.
And then you're going to have that additional income if you rent it out.
That's right.
There's different things you can do. You can rent it out. You could have a family member live there.
I have a question. Can someone use a reverse mortgage for it?
I wouldn't see why not. Yeah, that okay. would that
just
would
out of curiosity, because for anyone sure. who might be on the older side of things mm-hmm. that could qualify
sure.
for that,
yeah.
but might need long-term health care down the road but doesn't want to go into a nursing
Absolutely.
Facility, then I wonder if that would yep. maybe provide for care.
Yeah, use a reverse mortgage, and then they either have a caregiver stay, mm-hmm. they use the cash to build
Absolutely.
It, and then, have a,
yeah.
and then they'd have a caregiver yep. live on site.
In yeah, fact, that might be a possibility, because we're going to bring somebody on
yeah,
about
in
reverse mortgages.
In a few weeks, we will be bringing an expert on okay. in reverse mortgage onto the show. And a reverse mortgage could absolutely be
used
for
that. See how I tied
that
all in?
Wow.
I was really good.
You're good.
It's amazing. Very incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Stop the smoke blowing. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Okay. Back to dadus. So we talk. So the financing, those are kind of our main things. Mm-hmm. And we were talking on the break, wanted to make sure the other point. So, okay, we've got 6 to 9 months for permitting.
Yep.
Having your financing in place, and then what else?
Well, I mean, that's really the two big elements, because if
okay.
they're...
How long do they take to build, typically?
They take about 3 months to build. So
okay.
they're
pretty fast.
They're
yeah.
pretty fast, I mean, but they have all the elements of a regular house. They're just a little bit smaller. So
right.
each task takes less time.
Right. Tiny but, house movement.
Yeah, it's like a tiny house, but it's... And it can be built either with a fixed poured foundation, or it can be built post and pier, which is an easier way and less invasive way to build. So there's several different ways they can do it.
Ooh, I just had a question come up in my head when you were talking about some of that. From a drainage perspective, you know, you're adding more roof line.
Adding more what we call impervious
yeah.
area.
So what are the rules around that?
So there's pretty detailed rules, and they, again, just like anything where we add density, so mm-hmm. you're increasing the amount of area where water will not soak into the earth,
right.
so you're increasing what we call impervious area.
Mm-hmm.
So either that's going to be dealt with on-site, which mm-hmm. is usually how the city requires it. So you'll have a little rain garden
mm-hmm.
or an infiltration pond or something like that where the water will go in and filter out. Sometimes they'll have us connect to the storm system. That's all part mm-hmm. of the permitting process.
Okay. Are there also recommendations around, say, not just the landscaping, because I know what you mean by the rain gardens, but like if there's sidewalks, perhaps maybe put in the pervious
no,
concrete?
All of that,
or
all
the,
that, the, I guess, sidewalks from the standpoint, but they're not going to require any sort of city right-of-way improvements with a city sidewalk, but...
Oh, no, that's not what I mean.
Do,
like,
yeah.
let's say you have a sidewalk from the detached unit to the main house.
And most likely what you're going to have is you'll most likely have stepping stones
yeah.
or
something that still allows for drainage.
For drainage, because there's already so much impervious area
mm-hmm.
in Seattle.
Yeah,
because
there
also,
is pervious concrete.
Yeah,
a friend of mine's
concrete.
An engineer, was
mm-hmm.
the first one to use it up in Snohomish County on major projects, and it was super cool, you know, back... I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, and I see a lot more of it today, or even like the townhomes where they're building density in Ballard, and they're using these little paver stones with gravel in between
mm-hmm.
for the parking pads.
Right.
Things like that.
They have things called, there's actually pervious asphalt now.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's
pervious,
some pretty cool YouTube things out there.
Right,
kind
so there's
of
pervious
illustrating
concrete,
that.
Pervious mm-hmm. asphalt. There are pervious paving stones,
mm-hmm.
and there's... grasscrete, which is a thing, which
oh,
are,
cool.
which is yeah, it's very cool. It's a open cell, and they fill it with grass, and so it looks like grass when you look at it, but you can drive a fire truck over it. So we use it for
I
our fire lanes.
That.
Yeah, you, so when you
okay.
see the,
I was curious about
those
that.
Gray,
yeah, yeah.
kind of octagonal,
right.
on the ground, and they
that's
have grass
called grasscrete.
That's called grasscrete.
I
wow.
did not know
so
that.
So that way you can drive a fire truck, but at least you get more, and it's more pervious.
Still got to mow it though.
Yeah.
Still got to mow it, but
yeah.
I don't think you need a fire truck at your house, so you
no,
don't have
I'm
to
good.
Worry about
I'm
it.
It's a little
like
bit
that.
Like your hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to mow it occasionally, just not
yeah.
as much.
He's
yeah.
still got a 1985 fly mow that he uses for buzzing that off. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but
hey,
it's
don't
hard
be dissing
to control.
My fly mow.
I mean, not everyone has one, but, you know, when I saw him trying to cut his hedge one time, with it, I said, it's either for your hair or the hedge.
My brother has the green John Deere sport jacket. In a green John Deere hat, and he'll actually in Kirkland go out every now and then to annoy his neighbors, and he puts the jacket on and mows his lawn with his green John Deere mower.
Nice.
He's like a John Deere poster child, and I can only just shake
my head.
Your
family is very special.
Yeah, he's
yeah.
special in many, many ways. Yeah.
Hi, Lance.
Very nice. Very
oh my
nice.
Gosh. Nice.
Oh, scary.
Okay. So back to Dadoos.
So how now you've built some of these already, and I've seen some of the ones that you've built in the past. And give our listeners kind of a vision of like floor plan or what they can look like. I mean,
well, there's a couple different ways. If you do ones that are attached, those are really ones we've done where when we've done a fully new design where you have a single car garage. So maybe the house looks like a nice. Elevation looks nice from the street. Has a three-car garage. Mm-hmm. Looks nice, but one of those garages is actually dedicated to an accessory dwelling unit, mm-hmm. and it has a door around the side. And they might have a two-bedroom, mm-hmm. two-bath. There's certain rules about how large it can get. You know, it can't be larger than the existing house or the main living area.
Sure.
And one of the things we should touch on is that one of the requirements is that the owner. Has to live on site.
Right. Oh, it has true. To be owner occupied.
So it has to be owner occupied. So you can't create a duplex out of it. So that's one of the important things is that you have.
Can you ever move out?
You can move out whenever you want, but it cannot be an accessory dwelling unit. It goes back. You would have one family in it.
Oh, interesting.
So it's for life. When it's deeded with your lot.
Okay.
When you get that permit.
But if you're someone purchasing it, you can be like, oh, but I got the place out back, and then you could still use it the same way again.
Sure. Or you can just use it for your whole family.
Yes, right.
What they really are concerned about is they don't want them to become a duplex.
Right.
Sure. And they have a huge neighborhood that becomes all, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, for rent housing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, higher density rental.
Higher density
got
rental.
It.
So Brooks, with your company, I know you still have different levels of construction. You have like gold and silver, and talk a little bit about how you can outfit something like that.
Well, you can do all different kinds of things, and if you're going to be using them for a rental where you might have folks in there where it's going to get a little bit more use, you might go with finishes that are a little bit more durable.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're going to have your mom live there, and she really likes really nice finishes, then you might do them in that way. So it's really a question of what the purpose is when you start out.
And you can custom tailor that ADU.
Oh, absolutely. Too. You can custom tailor it to whatever the client wants.
Sure.
For sure.
Excellent.
All right.
When we come back, a little bit more with Brooks Powell of Powell Homes talking about ADUs and DADUs. And give us a call if you have questions for us or Brooks, 866-712-1300 on Business Radio KKOL.
Got a question? Call it in. 866-712-1300.